This is a Pinball News production.
My name is David, and it's been 1 hour and 15 minutes since I bought my last pinball machine, sitting right over here. I have an addiction, and as I pointed out, I do operate some games. I got into pinball 7 years ago, was a graphic artist, and I've done a lot of different aspects. In fact, going to CPR a few years back, I was their CMYK specialist, and I'm still a consultant with them and doing some backlasses. The backlash that I've been working on recently is not coming out yet, but it will be Flash Gordon. It'll be released at the same time with the playfield that is being reproduced. There's a lot of stuff going to happen in the next few months, very exciting stuff, and backlash reproductions at CPR are going nuts. So we're going to have a little eye candy. You'll see here my favorite art team. This is the Bally art team from 1978. I do apologize about the aspect ratio. I don't know why it's blowing off the screen. But the gentleman with the beard in the back. Nope. Closer. Too many pixels? Yep. All right. Well, we're going to just go on through this. All right. The gentleman in the back is Doug Watson, right here. And then we have Mary Beth Bush, a very young Kevin. Why can't I think of Kevin's last name? O'Connor, thank you. Paul Ferris, my buddy. And, of course, Margaret Hudson. And a very hairy Greg Ferris. And I'm sure Greg is going to love this picture. These guys, in the 1970s, started what took advertising posters' job away from them. They started doing all the artwork in-house. And because they were able to do this, they just started the world on fire with poster work. The Glames took off, and people loved them. Now, who here wants to do a custom backlash to a game? By a show of hands, who's been interested in doing that? Okay, we got a few in the back. Who's been interested in seeing what reproductions are going to be available? Okay, so you guys want to see some eye candy. We're going to have some for you. First up, the original painting, oil painting, from Greg Paris. This is how they did it. They would take an oil painting, and then at that time, Paul told me that they would use a laser to scan in the backlash. Now, this is back in the 70s, so I don't know how true that is, but he said they used a laser technology back in the 70s to get the actual image into films, and then from there they would do an overlay of a couple more films to give the appearance of the score windows and the name of the title. So basically with CMYK you have four films. You have cyan, yellow, magenta, and black. Then you'd have two more films, which in this case would be the yellow, which would be around the score displays, and the black, and the lettering. Okay. So now, the nice thing about doing custom backlashes is you can take them and change them to some fun people, a.k.a. Mr. Burke, and a very better-looking Mike Pasek. Anyway, legal problems. When reproducing backlashes, there are a lot of legal problems. Now, my day-to-day job, I do vend stuff. I also repair pinballs. But the one that pays for my health care is I am a corporate security officer for a large financial firm. So I deal with legal problems, making sure that everything is followed by the T and that all the money is collected and taken care of. My company deals with, and my clients are, Capital One, Citibank, Bank of America. Just about any of the major credit card companies have dealt with me, and including Microsoft has been dealing with us lately. Which brings us to the licensing problem. Now, everybody knows the game sitting here is Beat Time. What happened with Beat Time that we all know that was bad? Well, about a while back, somebody decided to change Beat Time from the Boodles to the Beatles and did a little custom backlash art showing the Beatles. Now, this got themselves in a lot of trouble because of third parties and whatnot. I'll just take this. Slide this over here. Okay. This way I can stand over here and take care of this. So, this got them in some trouble. So, when you're talking about legal problems, you're talking about licensing, reproduction rights. There are companies that own this. Third-party rights, such as the Beatles. Now, anybody have an idea what free park is? It's a legal term. Okay, it comes from the game Monopoly. No. Free Park is a company that would be, let's say, Chicago Coin, a company that went bankrupt. Their legal rights to their artwork files is gone. Because if they claim any income, or anybody tries to claim income on Chicago Coin stuff, there are, of course, bankruptcy laws that protect those who lost their money when they went bankrupt. So that gives us a little freeness to reproduce some glasses like maybe Genko, Chicago Coin, and some other companies that may have gone bankrupt in the past. Okay. But when people try to do creations such as Fraggle Rock, this was a classic one. This was on Craigslist, and this was definitely somebody trying to take off with a lot of people's money. The Craigslist ad basically said, this is a one-of-a-kind produced by Bally in 1986. We all know that dot matrix displays did not come out in 1986. The game is basically just a rebranded Flintstones. But the person tried to basically make a lot of problems by saying that it's something it isn't. Metropolitus is nothing more than a Gottlieb Genesis. Backlash may be blown out, so we put Metropolitus from the movie, try to increase the sales a little bit more. Now, we're going to have some fun. I'm going to give away some stuff, thanks to Mr. Pasek, who has donated some nice gifts. We're going to do a little backlash challenge. Now, I'm going to put this up. This is just a demo for now. Okay? But just out of curiosity, anybody have an idea what game this was for? I didn't think so. That's why I made it as a demo.
Hot doggy?
No. Not hot doggy. Game show? No. Nope. I'll give you a clue. It's from 1978. Huh? Nope. Nope. No. Atari. Atari used this glass, and that's why I use this as a demo, because this is probably the toughest glass, and I wouldn't even have known it, but they used this as a placeholder. A game called Rockstar went out into test location. It had this back glass. Rockstar, when it was finally released to the public, was known as Superman. So these are glasses that they would have made to put out there as tests because the name hasn't been decided upon, just to see how well the game was playing in location. All right, Mayfair Amusements is a corporation that did in the 80s make a lot of back glasses for a lot of the Williams pinball, and they got the licensing rights. And Steve Engel, who I've talked to, has close to 8,000 glasses. Black Knight, Firepower. So if you're looking for a glass, let's do a little research before just going, oh, I need this glass. Well, here are some places. You have Mayfair Amusements. You have the Shea Group. Okay, they're doing more of the older titles. You have Ron and Nancy Webb, who do a lot. And then you have Classic Playfield Reproductions, which all of this is not fitting on the screen. Sorry about that. Then we come to last year's expo. Mr. Burke over here in the corner heard that I did back glasses, and he said, I need this game. It's a classic. It's a Genko from the 40s. I cannot get anybody to reproduce this glass. So he sent it to me. It was broken in 4 pieces. So after a little work, we sent this out, and it was digitally scanned in, and then we went through. Now you can see the crack down the one side, crack down the other. We have heavy play, so we needed to clean it up. Once it was cleaned up, now what are we going to do? Well, there are 3 ways we can take care of this. We can print it on silkscreen. A lot of people would love to do that. Minimum runs on some corporations are 50 to 100 glasses. Now, if you're doing it for one game, You want 49 glasses in case it breaks? Not really. So we talked about some easier ways of doing this. Now, Mr. Burke did have his printed up, and I also printed it up this week. I had it sent back to me. Okay, so this was done on a positron. The white is actually optically clear. So where you see white, there is no white. It's just the white of the backing of the paper. So the idea is you would put this down on your glass, then put a white layer down, and then put a blocking layer down after that. Again, once the white isn't there. So you have to think in your mind, white is not there. So you can see where the white would come through. Where the white isn't here. And this would be reversed on the glass. Okay? So now you're looking through the glass. It is giving you the exact look. Now this is a little greener than I like, so I would print out another one. These two test prints were, I'm going to say I printed up about 5 test prints, and it came to like $50. So it was $10, maybe less, to print up one of these films. That's pretty cheap compared to printing out 40 or 50 glasses.
What's the material?
The material is an Oragec. It's like a digital, you would ask me that. It's like a clear vinyl. Okay, and it would go through a printer that's very big. In fact, if some of you saw last year, we had the printing done with John Greatwich at Direct Ink, and he did the ink to glass. Well, this is the next step from ink to glass is ink to film. You can do this for your custom. Makes it easy. But let's talk about some other stuff. Now, you can do it professionally. You can send it out, have the film scanned in. But before we do that, I forgot. Anybody name this game? Nope. This one's going to get a gift, so. Nope, not Firepower 2. Empire Strike. Nope. No. I'll give you a clue. It was Gottlieb's. Gottlieb's, no. It was Gottlieb's answer to Firepower. It's a tough one. It's a wide body. Nope, not Solar Fire. That's a Williams. Come on. All right, 1980. System 80, speech. You got it. It is. It is Mars God of War. Come on up. It's not a very known glass, but it is got infinity light. And it is quite cool. It has 4 2 bank drop targets, which open the multi-locks. And go in from there and grab yourself a translate. Some good ones in there. All right, so we have our back glass. Now we need to scan it in. Now, there are ways to scan it in. You can take it out and have it professionally scanned in, or you can take your scanner and interlock them. Okay, so what we would do is we take a scanner, hook it up to our laptop, then run in, take a scan, take another scan, another scan, another scan, another scan, another scan, another scan. And then we would have to overlay these and bring them in to create one perfect picture. You clean it all up. Then we would, and in this case, I got this ready to print so you get an idea. Now, the reason I took the black out is on Mars God of War, it's all mirrored. So, in this case, here's Mars God of War. Now, I would fix this to a piece of film or to a piece of glass. After that, I would put Limo Tint 100% mirror behind it. Okay, remember, the white is not showing. So now all of a sudden you have a perfect mirrored back glass and your artwork file. Then you do your white lap trap and then your black trap. and you would have what is considered the most hardest glass to find, because they made the way they made the door, every time you opened it up, the glass would fly out and shatter. It was the stupidest setup I've ever seen in my life. I am lucky enough to have a Mars God of War with one that, for some reason, somebody put trim work around it, and it's held it. So I've been lucky. So, however, this glass is going to be reproduced by CPR. Now, let's talk about CPR for a second. Before we get to that, anybody name me this glass? What? Targa Alpha. Yes, come on up. Yeah. Targa Alpha is a very... Is a classic four-player Gottlieb. Fortunately, you can't take those, but you can have any of those other translates there. Classic four-player, and it's very tough to find. Anybody understand? You know why I'm putting this up there is CPR just released this, and we're going to talk about that in a few seconds. Target Alpha is also another way of doing art, and that is with Rubylith. Rubylith is the films, okay, that you would literally cut out each color by hand. And the gentleman here is Ray Lockhart. He's a good friend of mine. Ray is 75 years old, and Ray decided, he says, Dave, I need a job. I said, okay, Ray, graphic artist for the last so many years. He says, I just need to get a little extra cash, you know. I said, okay, so how good are you cutting at films? I'm pretty good. So he cut these films. It took him, I'll say, 9 to 12 months. There are 12 to 13 layers of color on Target Alpha. It's a ridiculous amount of layers. So that means every color had a screen going through the silk screens press. We're going to get to that in a second. This is a sneak preview. Okay? Anybody get an idea of what he's working on now? Target Alpha is what he's finished. He's now working on a new glass. And Earthshaker. That's the black line. He did all that from original glass, and he drew all that lines in by hand. Okay, and then it's going to get set up. And Earthshaker is going to be a mirrored back glass in the next 6 months from CPR. Let's talk about CPR. I'm going to throw this over for a second. We're also going to have questions at the end. Just put these on the floor. Sorry? Which ones? Target Alpha is licensed. Gottlieb, Robert Fesjian, and Steve Young own the rights to those. Same as Williams and Bally are owned by two gentlemen. One is, I'm proud to say, is no longer the thorn in my side, from a down under company, you might not understand. And the new people are from Bay Area Amusements and Gene Cunningham. Both Gene and I have talked many a times, and we are working on Paragon and many other little special things that are going to come up in the next couple of years. But before we get to that, let's show a sneak peek at CPR, and I'm going to turn this over to my good friend Kevin, who, as of 11 o'clock this morning, sent me this art file, which literally was overnighted just so that I could get it here in time, and it was crazy what we had to go through. This is going to warm up. Any other questions that you might have, just fire them out. Any other questions? Yeah.
That glass for Gusher, do you know anybody's making up?
Gusher. Yep, I know it's a Williams game from 68. No? 59? Nobody's made it? Let's find somebody to put it together.
That's what I thought it was
58? Okay. Let me get this going.
Hey, it's Kevin from Classic Playfield Reproductions. Welcome to the printing room, the printing studio, whatever, here in the basement of my house. For those of you who have never seen this in person, which is probably 99.9% of you. This is going to be actually the first video glimpse by request that I'm going to be making. So for all of you watching here today, I'm going to actually show you a bit of silk screening, how it comes about, and how we do it. This was, of course, by request of David Fix, Doc Pinball, from the CPR art team. And he wanted me to put together a little video here for the show so he could show a little bit about what he saw when he was here. He's actually been up here in person. He has stood here and seen all of our junk. So he requested that you folks get to have a glimpse similar, albeit much smaller, to have a little bit of a look at how silk screening is done and how some of the parts are made. Today we're going to be working with the Target Alpha back glass, which is a project that that David was active with his fellow artist Ray Lockhart, who is also visible on the art team. He can be seen on the art team page. He is the one who hand cut the films for the Target Alpha back glass that you will be seeing here shortly. So let's get right to it. I won't bore you. We're going to start with one color. We're going to do one color today. This color, we're going to be doing pink. Pink will be the color today. And in doing so, in seeing that done, you will understand how all of the other ones are done as well. So let's move on. First step will be ink.
Okay, here we are with the Target Alpha back glass. This is an original, and if you look very closely here, you can see that it's absolutely a mess. It's shredded, the paint's falling off. Look up here. There we go, there's an example. This was sent down by David and by Ray. You'll see Ray's little registration mark still on it here. They're in the different corners and so on. The reason for that is he uses it for alignment verification and so on, and his tracing and so on. So this glass actually played a part in the actual artwork making as well. So now I have it here, and I use it as a guide. So I have a live, in-person, real Target Alpha back glass to check out the not only the artwork positioning, but also the colors. The colors are the main thing here. Today we're going to be, when I say we're going to be looking at pink, I mean this pink. The pink up at the top, it's the light pink, goes across the top, it's around the player numbers, like so, and there's little wisps of it down here at the bottom between the characters and the background there, you can see it. So yeah, that is the actual original Target Alpha back glass. Here is the pink, I just mixed this up, it is a silk screening ink. It is air cure. You can bake it if you want, but it will dry once screened in about 20 minutes. So you don't need to really rush it. You don't have to cure it in an oven or anything, unlike our playfields. But this is a different ink from our playfield ink. Our playfield ink is a very tough enamel-based ink, which dries, you know, diamond hard. Very, very tough stuff. This is the ink we use on our plastics and our back glasses because enamel is just too opaque, light doesn't go through it, it doesn't glow at the right color, and it's too thick. It just goes down almost like a thin layer of Mylar, so you don't want ink that thick. So anyway, here's our pink. This is made up of various tints, which I have here, all the different base tints from the Pantone color set. You can mix up any color under the sun by doing so. So I do all our ink mixing for plastics and back glasses right here. All our playfield inks are lab mixed. I have the professionals do it to certain Pantone color standards that I indicate to them. This pink, to just show you, this pink is called Pantone 190C. It's right there, the second one down. And this is from the Pantone color guide. If any of you have never seen one of these, it looks like a big guide of paint chips, okay? And there's hundreds of colors in here, and they're all Pantone standard numbered colors. So if my artist wants to communicate to me a color from across the globe and he compares it to his book, he can say, look, Kevin, the color is, the pink is 190C, and I can open my book and see it. Not only can I see it, but there is a recipe. See that? And that is your recipe of percentages and weights of the actual tints, which come this way. They come in cans, like quarts, gallons, rubine red, rhodamine red, warm red. All three of those components were in here to some small and large degree to make this pink, which is mostly on a base of white and clear. So with about five components, and I've gotten very good at this, I can come up with this ink. So there's your pink, and that's how it's mixed. We have all of the different tints, and I just mix them up in yogurt buckets. See this? They're just yogurt buckets. I eat a lot of yogurt, probably a bucket every 2, 3, 4 days. So lots of yogurt buckets in the house. They're great. They have snap tops. When they're empty, I just throw them away. But for now, they get to live a life of holding our mixed ink. So the main tints are in cans, just so you understand. That's how they come from the ink factory, already mixed. They are to Pantone standards. And then they get mixed in different varieties amongst themselves into brand new inks that match the colors on our various plastics and back glasses, such as this pink. So there you go. Next, we're going to look at the screen itself and how I get it ready to print. All right, now before we get to the screen, I might as well actually show you the actual back glasses themselves. Here they are on a rack, about 100 glasses, Target Alpha reproduction back glasses. These are three colors from being finished. They require the pink, which I'm about to show you, or the ink we just looked at, but I'm going to show you the screen. And then they require a white back, and then they require the silver light block layer, which goes on the very back. But if we come up here, they're on a rack, they're on a wooden rack. It's a very heavy rack because these are 8 to 9 pounds each, so this is 800 to 900 pounds sitting on this rack. They're all on individual fingers. If you look, there's a pair of plywood fingers holding them up that span underneath them. This allows me to just walk to the rack, grab one, put one back. They're all on little fingers. I've got it tied to the ceiling. Just in case it gets a little tipsy and decides to go over, it'll have to pull the floor down from upstairs. But yeah, that's basically it. We watch TV. if there's something on, I usually leave the sound off, but if it's the news or something, I can just not look at it, but listen. That's the entertainment down here for the long hours of printing. But here's what the glass looks like at this point. We're looking at the back. That's why it is backwards. You'll notice these areas are clear, see? This is where the pink's going to go and fill in these clear areas. Being the last color left, aside from white, which is going to show through to the front as well, this pink has all these blank areas. And yeah, if you look around, you'll see any of these little areas where there's clear spots, that's where the pink is going to go. So all the colors have been laid down. It looks kind of funny from the back because it just looks like solid color, but if you look really closely, you can see the black through it. Actually, I can come underneath and look up. See? So there it is backlit from the ceiling light. A little bright, not washed out, however, but there is a white that's going to go over the back of that to make it all nice and uniform. And also the silver backing, which looks like a deep gray, sort of dusty metallic look, that's the light block layer, and that's going to pop out all of the highlighted areas, such as the title. I know this woman's face also is highlighted. That means the silver back is going to be open, and there's going to be no covering, and it allows the bulbs to actually illuminate those areas extra special, so they light up while the rest of the back glass just stays normally lit from the front. So, yeah, there is a rack of the glasses, and they just go right down to the floor. when you're going down, you end up stooping quite a bit to get at the ones down here, but they're easily accessible, and I have to walk around the rack. Every glass has to take a trip to and from the press 12, 13 times for this glass. So they get a lot of action. And I don't touch the tops. They're all carried from underneath like I'm carrying a pizza with the palm of my hand. And, of course, they all get Windexed on the front before anyone ever gets them. So They get a nice cleaning before they're wrapped and shipped to an end user, and that gets all my glommy fingerprints off the front of them. So, anyway, let's go on to the screen. All right, here is the American M&M press that we use. It's a large 2-ton silk screening press that was brought in here through great trials and tribulations. It took, well, 4 or 5 guys with this on rolling pallet movers to actually get it across the floor from that door over there in the distance to here. It took a forklift to get it off an 18-wheeler flatbed, and we had to actually remove that door from the side of the house so it was wide enough to come through, and they just forked it in on the concrete with a forklift, and then it had to be hoofed over inch by inch by inch till it finally rested here, and it hasn't moved since. So this is the great silkscreen machine that has printed every CPR product. It's extremely versatile. It's called a Viking, and that's its model name, and it is a fully automatic press. I don't have to do anything manual once it's set up to load. I just keep hitting the pedal or the button. It self-floods and it self-prints and it self-lifts and lowers and so on. The only thing I have to do is feed it the objects it's printing on from the front. So here is our screen. I said we were going to get to the screen. Here it is. This is a screen frame that has been burned for the pink that I was telling you about. So if you look closely, there's your big pink area at the top, all the little wisps that are down at the bottom, and so on. So that is all your spots where it will print pink. And if you've never seen a silk screen before, let me flip it around here. It's like a large, heavy aluminum frame made of this solid aluminum framework, 4 sides, and there is a stretched piece of yellow silk. It's not really made of silk, it's made of nylon these days. It used to be made of silk many, many, many decades ago, but yeah, it's a fine mesh, similar to a bug screen. You can actually see through it here, see? But it's like a very tight trampoline, and I mean very tight. They stretch that stuff and seal it to the frame very, very tight. If you were to put a nick in this, it would rip and explode, okay? That's how tight it is. It's like a very, very tight drum head. And the reason for that is you don't want it to bow or stretch, or it would smear or move your imagery, right? Because the squeegee coming across, and with all that tension and pressure against the glass in this case, would pull your image north, right? You don't want any movement in this whatsoever, and that is why it's stretched so tight in the beginning that everything stays fixed in one spot and never moves. So that's that. You'll see the tugging and pulling later when we show an actual print happening. So that is a screen. These yellow areas are open. You can see through them. This dark green is an emulsion coating that has been baked to it. A film positive, raised film positive, is laid down on this. And all of the places where you cut those red ruby shapes, they block the UV light that cures the green emulsion, and then it doesn't allow the green to cure. So when the green doesn't cure, it remains water soluble. So what happens is when you take this out and hose it off with the garden hose, all of the emulsion turns to shit, and then it all falls out of the mesh and leaves open mesh. Meanwhile, everywhere it was clear on Ray's film positive got exposed to the UV light and baked and cured solid, becomes non-water soluble. The only thing that can get this green off at this point is a very caustic emulsion remover chemical, which we use, of course, to turn the screens around and put them back to a bare frame. So, yeah, that's what a screen looks like. And we're going to load this into the press and get it set up with a squeegee, flood bar, and ink, and get set for printing. All right, the screen's been loaded into the upper clamshell of the press, and I did a little bit of tweaking on it off camera because I tried to do this while shooting, and I just can't line it up without using both hands and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, it's in the press. It's roughly aligned to 99.999% of where it's supposed to be. We can do some fine tweaking, and I will show you that. But on the surface of the press is an example of the glass. It's one of the repro glasses from the rack. It's in position, sitting in its jig. A jig is this apparatus I've built on the main table, which is an aluminum vacuum table of the press. It's clamped down to it, as you can see. It's got these acrylic, green acrylic edges that form that right angle corner up there. And every time I bring a glass over, I literally lay it down and shove it up into that right upper right corner, and it basically registers the glass to being in the exact position, glass to glass to glass, visit to visit to visit, for every glass to come to the press. It's the only way you can do it and keep consistency. So that upper and right edge of the glass, which is left from the front, is crucial. That is the what we call the registered corner up there in the upper right corner. So let's bring the clamshell down, and I have it just to come down and park, and you will see, if we look very closely, that this is hovering over the glass probably, an eighth of an inch in the air. And you can push it down with your fingers, see? And this is how you check for the registration. All those green areas are blocking where the ink is going to print, and the open yellow areas is where the ink is going to pass through and lay down onto the glass. So a better way to look is up here at the top. Let me just pull the camera through here. These registration marks are key. So you hold them down and you look closely. See? This one's a little bit out to the left. You'll see you can see the edge of the black registration mark. That registration mark is actually on the glass itself. There's another one down here. Very, very close. And these are only hairline thick. But as you can see, the pink will overprint most of this black cloud. It bleeds in behind it. It's blocked out where it will not print over the yellow blast beams from the gun coming up from our fellow down there. So this whole area will be flooded, and you'll see how it actually overprints a lot of this, like so. See? So this is where the pink will print. It prints around the score numbers, the player numbers, and so on. So let me pull this out of here, and next step will be loading in the ink, and there'll be a squeegee and a flood bar mounted in there by that time as well, and we'll do our first print. All right, we're locked and loaded. There's the squeegee bar down there, and the flood bar is behind it. They're on the moving pressure armatures that come up and down to slide across the screen. What you're looking at is that yellow-colored rubber bar. That is a 70 durometer squeegee, which is going to come down with about 50 pounds per square inch of pressure against the screen and do a great big wipe across the whole thing to transfer the image to the back glass. The flood bar that's behind it will shuttle up towards us here at the front of the press to flood the pink ink across. Of course, there's no ink in here yet, so we'll go over here to the ladder, and we will go up to our pink ink that's waiting up top here that we saw before. And we will climb the ladder and come up here to the top. And looking down, basically we just we pour the ink in like so. Just a nice blob across. I usually come up and go across the top as well, like so. This really doesn't matter. It's irrelevant because the flood bar is going to spread this all across like a large layer of frosting anyway. So there it is, and it's slowly starting to seep down under the squeegee bar and head to the flood bar that's in behind it. All right. Okay, now that the ink is loaded in there, we can see it from the bottom. It's a dark patch. Let's start the flood across, and we'll do it slow for the first attempt. We'll come down here. I'm going to set the counter to zero, and we will hit the pedal. And, of course, the squeegee bar will creak its way across because it's dry, and I want this to go smoothly. So we'll see it coming across like so. We'll watch it from below. There, it's flooding the pink ink across to the top, and then it will come down, and then here we go. And there is our lovely pink put into position. Now, it's not that simple. You can't just leave it like this. You have to also go in and check. Where did the pink land? How does it look? Does it land around everything properly? How does it register to everything? So I'm going to check that out, and then we'll start some printing. So let's watch from the side here. There's the glass with no pink. Notice, no pink. Here we go. Flood. And print. And there's our glass with the pink. Got it? Now, let's bring it out here and have a close look at it. The things we look for are, of course, the registration around things. There's the pink breaking out there for the hole on top of the antenna. Here's how it cuts around all of the characters up at the top here. Looks very, very good. Cuts out around the letters, ball in play. You can see how micro-fine this is. We're dealing with hairlines most of the time. But this is what you see when you have perfect registration. And that pink will fall and hit in that spot every single time for the rest of the run. So therefore, I take my lockdown knobs and I tighten them off and make sure this tabletop will not move. All of the micro-registration knobs become irrelevant at that point, and I just run the rest of this rack by marching to and fro, which you're about to see. Great workout for the hips and the arms and the upper body. It keeps you moving. I just keep going like this. You get a lot of nice shoulder strength like this. Everything's done by one hand. I register with two hands. Carry back with two hands. Like I say, like carrying pizzas. Blind glass. The key is you gotta hold this one, get this one out with one hand, down on a little rest table, and then. So you're using both hands and one foot. And you just keep going, like so. As you can see, as the pink goes on, you can see your progress as you go, and then down the rack, and then here's where you're continuing on. So if you look, you can see where the pink actually bridges to nothingness, where we have to finish up the rest. And you just keep going around the rack. It's four-sided, so there's a side there, a side on the back, a side here, and then you're done at the bottom over there. And you just keep going until everyone gets its color. All right, fast forward, and it's about an hour later, and here they are all done with their pink. And as you can see, everything has its pink, like so. And it did turn out great, and everything is registered really nice, and yeah, exactly what you want to see. Nice cuts right up to everything. Ray did a great job. And now you can see how ruby films become actual colors laying on glass. All those little patches of red ruby on his sheets correspond to each one of these shapes that wraps around everything and tracks right behind all those black lines. Except, of course, where there's pure black. And as you can see, this is wide open here. And the hair has spots in it where the white shows through, because white will go over top of all of these colors, and that is actually next. We won't see that, of course, because it's the same as doing pink. It's just a great big square of white that goes over the back of all of this except the score windows and this little window right here. All right. Well, that's it for pink. Thanks for watching. And, man, I wish, you know, we could watch more. This is probably long enough as it is. It would take hours to show everything. You could imagine the steps to make
plastics and play fields even. You know, we could do probably a 10-hour documentary series on all of this stuff, but yeah, at least you got a glimpse of one color going down on one item. Maybe at the show next year, right? So there's your glimpse from CPR. Hope you enjoyed it, and have fun with the show, guys. Thanks, Doc Pinball and Ray Lockhart, for the fantastic art on these glasses.
Nice little eye candy. And if he does make a 10-hour video, I'm sure we will cure a lot of insomnia that has plagued many people. We also, Backlash took about 2 weeks to print, and I am proud to present that glass here today. This glass is being donated by CPR to the charity auction this Friday or Saturday at the banquet, so you guys can walk home. CPR does have these in stock, and I will have this here also for you to see. It has the silver layer. It has all the light blocking. It's a labor of love, but we continue to do it all the time. So we're excited about that. And this wasn't going to be here. UPS was really going to bone me in this thing because they shipped one of them to Buffalo today. So luckily, Kevin and I got this video and this here by UPS next day, yesterday. So that was good. Okay, so now we got a few more things. I want to show somebody else something that I didn't get to show you because I forgot about it. Remember when I was talking about the films? Well, here is a back glass done with films. This is for a ball bowler. It's for a United Bowling Alley. It's done on plexi. You know, ball bowlers, people like to throw balls up into the glass for some apparent reason, not keep them on the alley. But this was done. It's on a nice piece of plexi. It's all films. And it's got the light blocking layer. It's very nice. Comes out very well. A lot of people look at it and go, wow, that's great. Okay, good. Glad you like it. All right, we're going to get into more custom glass. This glass that you're seeing there was never produced. And I actually have this here because I was going to talk to Greg Ferris. This is a game that was never produced. It was called Cobra. And then he also had a glass called Blowout that Greg did, which never got produced either. So my job here is to find out a little more history about these two back glasses. Shadow. You know, this is like one of the glass. In fact, before I had the seminar today, somebody says, are you going to make like, you know, an alternate or a custom shadow back glass? Because I can't stand a guy with 5 o'clock shadows just staring at me. Well, some people have. They just took a train, you know, to some artwork and threw it up there. People have been creative to help their games. Let's see, what's this one? Iron Man. I never thought I'd see a custom back glass on an Iron Man, but somebody went and did one. They liked the little darker theme. Okay, got the three stages. The number one back glass that everybody wants to customize. Anybody want to have an idea? I know one person here said it already, so please don't blurt it out again. But how about World Poker Tour? Okay, the Stern game. Everybody comments this as the most ugliest back glass they've ever seen. So, there's a World Poker Tour. What's that? You take one? How about that one? Or that one? These are all examples that, believe it or not, I put together in 2 minutes. It's not that hard to do. Okay, guess the back glass. Phoebe, you cannot answer this. I am sorry, young lady. This is going to be for a prize. Who said Solar Fire? Come on up. Thank you very much. Solar Fire, a little history, is being the next game being printed at CPR. This is a milestone for CPR because it has mirroring. It will be the first game that CPR has put out with mirroring. Pretty cool. We've been pioneering some stuff, and thanks to a German outfit, we have a very nice ink that will do all our silver exactly like mirror. We're very excited about it. And that ink, by the way, is $2,000 a gallon. Is it worth it? Do you guys want new glasses with mirroring on it? I hope. Okay. How about this black gas? Huh? Yes, you are correct. It is Elvira the Potty. You want to know a little secret? And I want to get a hand, show of hands here. No, they're right up here. CPR is going to venture out in a new market. We are looking at taking Translite games and creating original back glasses. So no more Translite on a piece of glass. You're talking about an exact back glass for an Elvira and the Potty Monsters. Maybe silver with some mirroring. Ah, a special edition. Now think about that. You know, you got your Potty Monsters, and then you think about all the games that Williams has ever done that are Translites. Think about if you want to have an actual back glass. You know how a Translite gets after a while, gets that fade, gets that little not fitting next to that window? Not anymore. An exact new back glass. This is something we're looking into very heavily, and Elvira and the Potty Monsters was the first title I kicked out at them, and they liked it, so we already started talking to Cassandra, getting the green light from her, and we're going to be doing it. All right, guess the back glass. Oh, okay. Yes, come on up. Silver Ball Mania is correct. It is the next back glass to be produced at CPR after Solar Fire. So you're talking about three glasses. You got Target Alpha, Solar Fire, Silver Ball Mania, and more glasses to come. There are a lot more glasses to come. In fact, we are talking about Earthshaker. We are talking about, let's see, I'm trying to think of the other couple. High Speed, Paragon. And in fact, we're talking to Paul Ferris. Paul's going to meet me here sometime this weekend because we're going to do some special back glasses with him, including because Paul has a very nice problem. He has all the original art from all the glasses he ever made hanging in his office at his house. So you're talking about the Paragon painting. You're talking about Xenon. You're talking about them all. And Paul wants to keep the life of these machines going. So he has agreed with Gene Cunningham, who has the licensing right with Paul, to start doing back glasses through CPR. We like to work with everybody. I always wanted to work with Gene. Gene is a good man. And sometimes he's a little hard-headed, so we dealt with Wayne, the lesser of the two evils, as I like to think. Or the other evil. And now we have the joy of having a new enterprise in the horizons. So we're very excited about that with CPR, and Kevin brought me up to speed on that. And that will lead in to the end of my demo. I'm going to ask any questions. Anybody have any questions? Yep.
Silk screening machine that you showed. Yep. Who makes that? Where are they? Where's the cost?
That silk screen machine, believe it or not, was made in 1982 or 83. It's not made anymore.
What's the brand name of the company?
He did give it on the video, but I can't remember. I know it's called the Viking, and that thing is a beast. And the reason we got it is because the company that was doing silk screening has gone to a new technology. Okay, so a lot of these old machines are becoming obsolete. And we were able to pick them up for the purpose of reproducing. They're not reproducing back glasses. You know, you don't see Stern, except for Spider-Man black with the silver mirroring, you don't see many back glasses that are made anymore that way. So it's kind of a dying art. And in fact, to rip the films into CMYK, there is one company in the United States that will do it for us. Only one company in the United States that has a machine big enough to rip the films into CMYK. You think about it, this is thousands and thousands of printing facilities. You could have gone anywhere. Even in Chicago, we call most of the people here in Chicago. They do a lot of stuff now direct from the computer to the silk screening machine. They don't even have, I mean, some of this stuff is not even done anymore. So we, you know, to keep it alive, we had to buy machines such as the Viking there and keep it going. Any other questions? That, Scott, sure.
Go on that glass. Yep. I don't see it on your website.
Aha. Uh-huh. Because it wasn't, you need one. Let's talk afterwards. You tell me what game you also need because I probably, that one?
Yeah.
That one, okay. I'll get it for you. I do have those. That's a separate venture. It's not through CPR. It's a consulting thing that I did with somebody else. But there are a whole bunch of those. And other games, Bullerama, you name it, we've gone through them. Including some baseball games that are really tough to find, too. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see your hands rubbing right there. Okay, we'll be talking. Any other questions? No?
Well, how many do you have to do to make it work?
How many glasses do we have to make? 100. About 100. Mm-hmm. 100. And we don't gouge people because to see the Target Alpha glass you're seeing here retails for $199. That's not very expensive for a back glass, silk screened and done in all those colors. Okay.
Plus you got that expensive Germany now for the shiny ones.
Mm-hmm.
You guys start doing the shiny ones.
Yep. But you got to understand, like, that ink that he put in there, that little yogurt container, if he doesn't eat it by mistake, that all there was basically, like, pennies to mix. But the cost, you are correct, to have all this on file to do it will take a lot. Okay? Yes?
Is it possible to order it to Europe, or is it to...
Sure. We can ship to Europe.
Yeah.
You want it to Germany? Sure. Comes in a nice box. It'd be shipped right to you. Two glasses if you want it up that way. Perfect. Yep. Any other questions? All right. There are some secret things coming out in the next couple of months. Maybe some secret play fields that haven't been notified yet. So keep your eyes open to CPR's website because I hear there is possibly some Centaur play fields in the future. So that's something some people haven't heard about. There's a lot of things going to happen. So you got four glasses going to be done probably before December. Then four more glasses next year, maybe more, six. And in fact, it's kind of funny because Kevin sent me a video, which he told me you can't show it to anybody. So I said, okay, well, that video showed a semi-truck from Proco in Montreal dropping off six pallets of glass. Enough to do enough glass, back glasses, for the next year. They were only supposed to drop off one, but for some reason the company thought, we're going to give it all to you at once. So they shipped all six pallets, and they weigh 10,000 pounds on the pallet. So he has to break it open, take all the glasses out, get them all downstairs, loaded, where he's got to put them, and then just hopefully, the nice thing about Kevin is he's not married, so he doesn't have the wife going, what are you doing down there? Because he'll spend hours upon hours silk screening, cutting stuff. And he has a huge house. It's a very big house. In fact, upstairs, he has a room that's, I'll say, about 20 feet long by about 15 feet wide. It overlooks his living room. And he has 20 to 30 pinballs sitting up there, too. So, and then he's got that huge basement where he does play fields, printing, glass, and so forth. Yes, he is paying the bills, and CPR is in the black, so that's a good thing. Any other questions? Well, I thank you very much. Mr. Burke.
Wonderful seminar.
Thanks, brother.